So walking meditation is another form of formal meditation. You could call it a posture, a meditation posture. It's a mobile posture, of course. but of course, you can reference it in the suttas where the Buddha, you know, in some of the more formal meditation discourses, he talks about the four postures, sitting, walking, standing, and lying down. And I can say something about all four of them on this retreat. They're all very valid postures. They obviously all have different qualities to it, isn't it? And so some of us, we have preferences for one over another. Generally, of course, sitting meditation is the universally most practiced and taught, probably for good reasons. But I think we are well advised to also, in our formal meditation, to try out those other three postures. Like if you're getting older, like me or some of us here, then like, no, some of
everyone.
everyone, everyone is getting older. Yes, somebody just remembers, everyone is apparently getting older. That's probably true. But after a certain age, you know, you start to notice that lying down meditation becomes actually more attractive, particularly for the back. But you know, like all of the other postures, they all have some advantages and disadvantages, no? And so to start with walking meditation as an alternative to sitting, I know some of you have done, for example, Goenka retreats. I've saw if you're used to that tradition, I'm not really quite sure why there'd be reason behind it, but Goenkaji, obviously, he just really focused on just sitting, which does create a lot of intensity. That's of course one of the purposes behind that kind of form of a meditation retreat. If you fear you might overdo it with intensity, or you know, if you want to give your body a break, then of course walking meditation is a very welcome change, you know, for the posture. The body usually welcomes it because our bodies are built for movement, isn't it? That's why we've got a couple of legs down there. And so if you sit a lot, I think on the longer retreat, of course, with sitting, you know, obviously it does always become uncomfortable, which is something we can use for contemplation, but also it can become a bit habitual. The energy can become a bit stale, isn't it? Like with everything, that we always do the same, there is always the danger of the mind dulling with habit, you know? And so walking is obviously a very different mode. And it's interesting that sometimes I get people on retreat who are particularly confused about walking meditation. They'll come to me and say, "Well, can you explain that again? I just don't know. I mean, walking meditation, I get the sitting, you know, I can sit and meditate, but when I walk, I just don't see the point. It's just like, I'm not sure what this is about." And well, as I said, obviously we all have different personalities, and it's natural that some people who prefer walking meditation, some prefer sitting, and so forth. But I think usually that is also indicative to me for a certain kind of attitude that we identify meditation and we can identify sitting with something really, we can easily identify ourselves with something, doing something purposeful, you know, like here, you know, I stop, I'm gonna sit down. And so then it's obviously, you know, just the bodily gesture means you're stopping, you're calming, and then you can focus. And most people find it easier to focus, of course, when you're sitting, is nothing else going on. I really can't make an effort, and then that's practice. You know, I'm doing something, and I might fail at it, or I might succeed at it. But even if I fail, at least I feel I'm doing my heroic struggle, whatever. And then if you kind of walk up and down, not for everybody, but for many people, that's more difficult. You're more easily distracted. You know, sooner or later you end up just, you know, ambling back and forth and looking at the birds or wondering why there are no birds. And then you just feel, well, what's the point of this? You know, I'm just not getting focused. I'm not getting concentrated. I'm just wasting my time. As I said, this is not necessarily for everybody the case, and it might not always remain the case for us. Some people actually find it easier to get concentrated or focused doing walking. But even if that doesn't happen for you, don't underestimate like what's happening there. You know, just use it also. I think it can be good to also you open a bit more like our scope of what we understand meditation or contemplation to be, experiencing our mind in different kind of modes. Now, we don't, particularly if you're the type of always, you know, having to, you know, be purposefully striving and focusing, which again can have advantages and disadvantages. There are many different modes in which we can do walking meditation. Now, if I use it like this technique to really refine down my attention, maybe even go into more samadhi, then probably for most of us it means we're gonna really slow down and walk, you know, very carefully, slowly, giving systematic attention, like in some traditions, like you might be familiar from Burma, Mahasi Sayadaw tradition is a noting. You advise to very carefully note, you know, more details of the movement of, you know, when the foot lifts, moves, and settles down again, and things like that. I keep repeating, what is important to say, we're all different, of course. It works different for different people. But that's probably going to be likely which way we go. And we're going to use our technique and then just can really maybe can get into quite refined attention. And the Buddha said in the suttas, we have him on record of saying that it is more difficult to develop samadhi in walking meditation. But the samadhi that we have developed in walking meditation is also going to be more durable. It's more resilient. And it makes immediate sense, isn't it? It's common sense. Because the activity is more complex and there's more stuff potentially going on that might distract us. And if you do manage actually to develop concentration there, then it has this resilience, isn't it? Because we have learned to develop that dealing with in a more, this more complex situation. And that can be one of the advantages. Secondly, whether our mind gets very focused or not, it is, of course, an activity. And so it's a little bit closer to our daily life experience. Now, our daily life experience is not doing walking meditation, but even less, or you just sitting around like a stone or a tree or whatever in your daily life. So it's something that we can also, the benefits that we get from walking meditation, we can easily translate, isn't it, and transpose in more complex daily situations. It's fairly common, as people tell me, but you lay people using situations like when you go to work in the morning or when you walk your dog or, you know, walking to catch the bus or something, that you can or you find yourself and automatically applying things that you have actually practiced, used in walking meditation, and making that more of a contemplative experience. And talking about walking meditation, of course, we can also just go for a mindful walk. The reason we do walking meditation as a formal exercise is, of course, again, same with sitting, to simplify it and make it a little bit easier to stay focused or to within the contemplative realm. Because if we do a mindful walk, that can be a very beautiful exercise, but that's also more advanced. And if you've got really places to go, with a change in scenery and all that, of course, it's naturally much more that mind is going to be drawn outward. So we simplify it in walking meditation. In our tradition, no, as you know, we choose a path of 20 to 30 steps, and we just walk up and down. So it's very obvious we're not getting anywhere. You know, when we come to one end, we just turn around, walk back. So it's really just about the body and movement and just paying attention to that. Apart from that, it's the same principle of mindfulness of the body, the anchoring the attention in the body, using the body as an anchor for your attention to stay in the present moment. We can use it towards more continuity, stability of attention, more focus if you stay with the object, in this case, the body walking, or we just use it as an anchor to stay present and then just see, receive, and be with what is actually happening, what is arising, whether it's the birds twittering or not twittering outside, or whether it's your mind twittering. and you just be with that and try and understand better, you know, what's going on there, learn how to be with that, anything that arises, without creating unnecessary suffering. You know, it's good to always keep in mind the wider context of our experience. The ultimate purpose of meditation is not to get concentrated or to have a special state of mind and then get frustrated if it doesn't work. The ultimate purpose is to understand more how my mind works, how your mind works, how our mind works, you know, and why we suffer. why we suffer if we are getting concentrated or if you're not getting concentrated, or how we're always arguing with our experience and think it should be different. And as I said, walking meditation can be a nice sort of addition to the way we might maybe apply effort in the sitting, because as I said, on the one pool of the possibility of extreme is this, we can use it as a very focused exercise. On the other pool, the other extreme, sometimes we might really just walk up and down. That like how you get the pictures of philosophers, they walk up and down in the garden, when they mull over their philosophical ideas, and then suddenly, bing, got an insight. And there's something about that, at least from my experience, I think this very experience of walking, the rhythm of walking is something that generally for people is just very relaxing. It's just a very calming thing. That's why people like to go for walks. Right, it's one of the reasons. And I find particularly during, my daily life experience, like say maybe if I've got something on my mind that bothers me or a conflict or something to deal with, a problem to solve, and my mind is just going around in circles with that, if I just go onto my walking path and without any kind of pretension or particular expectation or demand on my mind about getting anywhere or creating any kind of mind states or whatever, if I just walk up and down with my mind, just let it think, let it do what it does, and not trying to do anything particular, things change, of course. Why wouldn't they change? Because, everything changes all the time by itself. We don't have to make things change all the time. They change by themselves. And this is walking, of course, so usually they change in a good way. If I walk up and down with some problem in my mind, and I've been walking up and down for half an hour, after half an hour, I'm not more anxious. I'm not more worried or obsessed. I'm more relaxed. I find I've got more space. I might have even dropped it and the mind might have gone on. Really, in that case, then it can be really rewarding to be looking at the birds, isn't it? Suddenly you realize that you're still here, you're present. You're not out there in the bubble that your mind created around some problem that happened yesterday. You're actually hearing the birds. That means you're here. That's actually anything like that, that brings you back into an appreciation of the actuality of your experience in the present moment. That's fine. It doesn't have to be your breath. It doesn't have to be any object that you formally assigned as your meditation object. So like always, my encouragement to really experiment this walking meditation, how it works for you, like even this in one posture, meditation posture, you don't always have to do the same thing. You can sometimes try and use technique and focus more, just as a reminder, most of you know all those techniques. Usually we suggest that you focus on this. If you want to focus, you focus on the sensation of the feet, not touching the earth. It's literally, of course, very grounding, far away from your head, as far as you can go in your body. It emphasizes this rhythmic experience of walking, this recurring sensation of touching, the ground. You can use your breath. If you really want to work with technique, I always find it quite rewarding to combine the rhythm of the breath with the rhythm of walking. And you can play with that. Another suggestion, of course, if your mind is unruly, doesn't do what you want it to do, try and make it interesting for your mind. Of course, the mind likes to be entertained. It likes to play. So try and see meditation more as play rather than work. If you always see it as hard work, half of your motivation is already going, isn't it? But if it can be interesting, if it can be enjoyable, if it's playful, the mind is going to be there. It's going to engage. If you're just counting, how many steps do I take on an in-breath? Just counting, not manipulating, just counting what's natural. How many steps, for my in-breath? And then how many steps do I take until I feel I want to breathe out again? And then how many steps do I take on an out-breath? And so forth, just to observe. And you might be surprised. I surprised myself with that, because that's one of the aspects of the relaxing aspect of the movement of walking. I guess it almost gives you a massage also in the belly, which eases tensions. if I pay attention to it, I realize my breath can go much, much slower when I do walking meditation. You know, if I walk and I'm breathing in, okay, at some point the lungs feel full. And then instead of just automatically and habitually breathing out again, I say, well, I feel comfortable right now. I just keep walking. You know, just wait until I actually really feel like I should be breathing out again. And sometimes I might walk the whole length of my path before I feel like breathing out again and saying, wow, what was that about? That's interesting. So the breath suddenly becoming very long without strain. You know, you always, of course, if you do that, you always want to be careful. You don't want to strain because then you invite tensions, isn't it? And once you get into that, you might find that interesting. You say, wow, you know, that's always, if you see something new, it becomes interesting. And then you're more naturally actually going to stay with it. Oh, well, that's interesting. And if the breath slows down, becomes more calm, that's one of the reasons why breathing is, of course, such a beautiful meditation object. Then also our body comes down, and through the body, our mind comes down. And that's what most of us, of course, really like, or what we're looking for. No? So this can be a very good technique for that. And then you can play with it, of course. You can try out, manipulate a bit. Oh, how about if I just, you know, wait a bit longer until I breathe in again? You know, how about if I lengthen my breath a bit, take a few more? Always as long as you find it interesting, as long as it really engages your mind and you find it helpful. No? And then at other times, you know, just, I also just encourage you to just drop it. You just walk up and down and just see what happens. Don't try to achieve anything. Just see how it feels to be with, how does it feel not to get anywhere? That's, I think this is the frustration, you know, this person who comes to me and on a meditation, you know, this, I don't get the point of walking meditation because I don't get anywhere. You know, the very exercise is designed to not get anywhere, isn't it? Because once you get somewhere, you turn around, you walk back. There's nowhere to go, no? If it's boredom, you just watch boredom. If you get confused, just watch confusion, you know, get more smart about it, see what this is like and why does it have to be suffering. You know, if you're really confused, you can always come back to the one truth that you know, at least apparently, you know, you can come back to the body and you're here. This is what's happening. You know, it's always square one, as it were. And that's in terms of technique, of course, also something that we can always do. Ajahn Chah talked about that. You know, so I generally suggest not to just, if you get frustrated, just watch the frustration, of course, and just walk with it. But you can also just choose to just stop, for example, you know, if you want to put more definition in your meditation, more emphasis on just really staying with your object, you know, exercising that bit of control that we can have over our mind. That can be very useful. You know, just stop and just stand for a while. You know, feel your feet standing on the ground, sweep with your attention through the body, and when you feel you're settled again, well, then you just start walking again. For most people, once you walk, it's more easily, the mind starts walking as well and walks away usually. So then if we stop, it's a wonderful thing also, opportunity to also stop the mind. Mm-hmm. And that is also the reason why in our tradition, at least, we use a definite path with a definite end. You know? You might walk between two trees, or if you haven't got a garden where you are, you walk, you know, in your room from one wall to another. Because every time you come to the end of the path there, you've got naturally the invitation to just stop. You know, stop for a little while, feel your feet, feel your body, then consciously turn around, start walking again.